Let's start by having you tell us the name of the exhibit.
The name of the exhibit is In Their Own Words, Diaries and Letters, and it's on view from February 8th through April 5th.
And when is the museum open?
The museum is open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4. Admission is free. We appreciate donations.
What was where did the idea come from for this particular exhibit?
Recently, some diaries were donated, and we kind of got sucked into them. We start reading them, and you get sucked into the people's lives and their stories. And it's sort of a follow-up of an exhibit we did a couple years ago called Shared Images, where we looked at history from another point of view. You know, we often think about history collections being artifact-based things, but images is in one way of looking at and gaining more information. And diaries, I think, are an excellent source of going deeper and putting those artifacts in context. It's also a bit of a partner to our oral history projects that we do, where we collect, you know, living people's histories as well.
Well, and with journals, you know, the newspaper for many years was called the Macomb Journal, the idea being that it was sort of a journal, kept track of the day's events. So how does this differ than perhaps looking at old newspapers?
Well, I think it's there's a personal aspect to it, and I think, yes, it's a great parallel between the two, because these people do chronicle seemingly interesting things of the time. Sometimes they're just weather, and there's a kind of a consistent theme here. There is a lot of weather in these diaries, but then every now and then you get a life-changing experience with a birth or a death or a sickness or a historical event. There are two wars that are covered in the exhibit in the diaries, and things like the Titanic sinking, you know, those kinds of, you know, nationwide events are recorded side by side with the weather, which is a kind of an interesting way to look at life.
Well, you mentioned the weather, and everyone's talking about it, you know, right now, right, because of the winter we've had this year. Have you found examples of similar types of winters in the past?
Yes, absolutely. I was reading one in December, and it was almost parallel to the day, you know, 15 below, car winds start. You know, we worked all day on it. We have a farmer's journal that we have from the 40s through the 60s, and he obviously is chronicling the weather relation to his work. Can't get the corn in the ground, or it's too dry, you know, those kinds of issues that affect his livelihood.
How would the entries in these journals and diaries different from what you would read in the newspaper? I guess, it being much more personal?
I think, actually, I'd like to make a parallel between Facebook. These are kind of status updates, and a lot of them are very short. And even the way they're written, they use their own terminology. B.O. is bought for Archie in his diary. There's some shorthands that people adopt. And they chronicle, again, those small things in life, significant things, even what they bought or what they find interesting. I think the women's diaries are a little bit more full of emotion or opinions. The men seem to be more factual, especially the soldiers. They kind of record what happened, what they ate, where they went, what they did. The farmer, what he bought, what he sold, what gave birth.
So even before Facebook, people were writing down the most inane little things that were going on in their lives.
I think so. I think there's a need for us to record. I mean, that's the beauty of museums, I think, is we are able to collect some of those things that people value. And I think, again, these diaries put the artifacts in context, what we value, you know, what we care about, what we want to record. Like I said, the births are fascinating in terms of, you know, you can almost see the joy that is in the way. Even sometimes the handwriting gives away, you know, what people are feeling.
So how do you go about exhibiting what's in these diaries without simply, I guess, just putting the diaries out on display, which I imagine you can't really have people thumbing through those because of their age and condition? So how do you go about making a museum exhibit out of this?
Well, what I was after was I wanted to give different points of view. We have 8 diaries in the exhibit, and they started as early as 1855, and they go through 1966. And there are times when each of these diaries overlap. For example, there's a section where we have 2 Civil War diaries, one by James Campbell and one by C.V. Chandler. And they're not fighting in the same area, but there are, again, some similar things that they're facing. you know, the hunger, the food. They also end up in hospitals, you know, for different reasons. And then we start to overlap. We have at one section, the early 1900s, we've got a young woman who's just starting her career at the normal school and becoming a teacher. We've got a mother of five who has children that are actually in school at normal as well. And then eventually we have a soldier enter into that sort of timeline dialogue. And they're all stacked visually on a timeline around the room. And you just, especially in the war section, it's fascinating. If I could maybe point out a couple of entries I think that are very poignant, especially around when her son, one of our characters' name is Martha Ann Treadwell, she has sons that are going over to Europe, and she talks about being almost sick with anticipation of hearing about their safe travels. And then if you counter that with a point when John Purdom, who is the soldier that's over in Europe, he's talking about fighting on the battle field. And so, you know, it's apparent what this mother is concerned about. You know, you've got the real thing, and then you've got the mother who's sort of imagining what could possibly be happening to her son.
Are these diaries and journals all of names that we would recognize, people who were famous in the region's history, or do we have some people that perhaps most people would not be familiar with?
I think C.B. Chandler is the one that most people are going to be familiar with, and he people know of his Civil War experiences. He was wounded in Chickamauga, and it's interesting to hear his take on that injury. It's actually fascinating. The lines that he talks about when he first sees his father after being wounded, it's very moving. But other than that, they're kind of everyday people. Like I said, a mother, a wife, you know, a young woman. No, I think we know them, and I have to say by the end of, you know, Martha Ann Treadwell, she writes from, 1909 through the 40s to a couple months before she dies. And, we transposed these diaries, and we made selections to put up on the wall. We didn't put every entry because there were just so many. By the time we get to the late 30s when her husband gets sick, it was very emotional for me. You know, I totally got sucked into it, and I could feel her pain again in the way she writes. Like I said earlier, the handwriting can give away an emotion as well. She writes real heavy when he's sick, and you can see she's very hurried and stressed. And then when he finally passes, there's nothing on the page except a very light written line that says, "Papa passed at 8:30 a.m. Nothing else on the page. Very light, as if there's just like nothing kind of left for her. She just has to record that event.
As you mentioned, you have selected entries posted to the wall. You've typed those out, and you've talked about the handwriting several times that you had to transcribe to type out these entries. How difficult was it to read the handwriting in some of these journals and diaries?
Some of them is very difficult, and we will have Xerox copies of them available for people to look through. So, like I said, we've made a selection. If you want to read more, you yourself can try to read through them. It varied. Some of them write very tiny. Jesse Horrell writes very, very tiny. James Campbell was also very difficult, and obviously his conditions on being a soldier probably led to some of that. You get used to it after a while. You get like anybody's personality. You get used to their writing, and it made it a little bit easier. We had a lot of help. We had some WIU student volunteers helping and some interns helping. So it was really a team effort.
You mentioned some of the abbreviations that were used that maybe made it a little bit difficult to understand what was being said. What about slang over the years?
Stayed, STAID, was consistently used in the early 1900s. I assume that was an acceptable way to write that word. There were about three people that used that word. There are some things, there were names I thought that were fascinating, you know, that there were some names that kind of appeared again, and I was wondering who Mr. Plasman was, and I'm still not quite completely sure. I think he was one of the elected officials for the school districts in the area. So those were kind of fun things that you kind of get used to as you move through and you find slang and comparisons. Oh, SS, Sunday school, that's the other one. That was another common term that was used.
After reading through these diaries and journals, which one of these people would you most like to meet in person?
You know, I think I did get sucked into Martha Ann Treadway's, and I think it was probably the longevity of her writing. And again, she walked a line. I think not very often does she express a lot of emotion. She does write at one point when her sons were finally, she finally receives a letter from her sons. You know, she has this great relief, and then she says, "I had a good cry," and then she puts, "I'm over it." You know, like she had to go on, and then she goes on to talk about ironing or whatever she needed to do for the day. And so, I appreciate her strength and her resilience, and you just get sucked into all the things that happened, her births, her deaths, her professional accomplishments. Jessie Horwell is another one. That young woman worked really hard. She said, "Oh, I didn't do very much today," and she lists, you know, "I canned, I ironed, I cleaned, I did my homework." I'm just like, okay.
You know. They didn't have Facebook to distract them, I guess.
I guess they didn't.
The internet,
no TV.
Or TV or right. Anything.
Right. So it's set up so that you can look at this exhibit and you can, if you do get sucked into someone's story, they're color-coded so you can move through the timeline around the room and read one person's story. Or you can take it by era. In other words, if you're interested in Civil War, you could read the Chandler and the Campbell entries and just, you know, digest that. Or the World War I. Or Archie, if you're into farming, he really gets into some good details about farming. I think this is an exhibit that you could come back to on a number of occasions, and I actually do suggest that because there is a lot of great information here. We have peppered it with artifacts that kind of relate to what's being talked about. For example, if they talk about getting a radio, we have a radio out that's from that period. We have a World War I soldier's uniform. So there are some things to look at as well. But I encourage people to come back. And I think also you have to give yourself over to it. I've noticed that people that have been in, once you get sucked into somebody's story, then you're kind of a goner. You got to read the whole thing. So again, I encourage repeat visits. It'll be up for a number of months.
Anything you want to add?
I think, you know, this is something you're probably not going to see very often. We don't often get access to people's personal diaries. So I encourage people, like I said, to give themselves over to it, to enter into it, and just get to know some people that our community, who built our community, who have been a part of our community.
Have you seen exhibits done like this in other museums or exhibits based on diaries and journals at other museums?
I think that they're often segments of a larger exhibit because, again, they reinforce or help contextualize, a topic or artifacts. And so, yes, I think it was a bit of a risk, and I'm still a little nervous if people are going to enjoy it. But since our space is relatively small and our exhibits change every 3 months, I think it's worth examining and looking at these different points of view about our history.